a passage on prayer. Remember, there was the passage of Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, 6, 9 to 15, where Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." He also said in Matthew 6, in the beginning of the chapter, around 6:6, Jesus said, "When you pray." So, when you pray, after this manner pray ye. And now in chapter 7 and verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" Are there any fathers out there like that? Or let me ask, are there any fathers in here like that? I don't think so. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings. We pray, O God, unto thee now. We ask, O God, that you will give unto us the truth of your word. O God, I pray that would always be our prayer when we come to appear before thee, O God. I pray it would be so. I pray that your spirit would descend into our midst. Speak to us, Lord. We need your spirit, O God, to uncover the truth of your word to us. Father, we do not discover truth. Father, you reveal it to us. And yet we must be seekers. We must be knockers. And as we'll learn today, we must be askers. Oh God, help us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And so, ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. And then what should motivate you and I to pray is what he says in verse 8, "You will receive if you ask. You will find if you seek. And it shall be opened unto you if you knock." I always remember Mercy in the second part of Pilgrim's Progress. She knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked. She did. And the Lord was inside smiling. John Bunyan said she was in quite a swoon because Christiana had gone in already and the door was shut. And she beat on that door until he opened it. And so, beloved, God delights when we ask, when we seek, when we knock. Christian, if you're growing in grace and in the knowledge of God, the more you should see your need of asking your Heavenly Father for the things that you need as you pass through this earthly life. If this is true of you, believer in Christ, you will be a constant petitioner before the throne of grace, a suppliant. Means one that's bringing supplications before the Lord. You will ask more of God the more you know of God. The more you know of God, the more you will ask of God. If you ask an earthly rich man and he gives you his riches, you deplete his riches. When God gives you his riches, he's richer. You cannot deplete the riches of God. But so often we ask for the wrong things. The psalmist said, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord." You have things that you should ask God. But if you're like me, so often we fail to ask God those things which are most needful for us. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We should cast all of our care upon him, for he careth for us. When the Lord Jesus spoke these words on the Sermon on the Mount, he knew the hearts of the people at that time, and he knows us all too well. He knows our hearts. He has searched you and known you. He knows your down sitting. He knows your uprising. He understands your thought afar off. He knows what you should be asking him. And here's the wonderful thing about God. Though very often we don't ask him, he provides those things for us anyway. Four times in chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, the Lord Jesus said, "Take no thought. Don't be anxious about your earthly needs, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." God says, "I am going to take care of you." Verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." David said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." God is going to provide for us, beloved. But we so often fill ourselves with anxiety and care about the future and things that have not yet happened, things that we worry about. How we are going to deal with this or that. How we are going to provide for our needs in regard to this or that thing. Beloved, these are not the thoughts of one who is walking by faith in Christ to be worried. The people of God are not to be worry warts. We're not to be worriers. We're to cast all of our care upon him. In fact, as the day of our Lord approaches, we are not to be overcharged with surfeiting or the cares of this life. So we shouldn't be a people who are filled with worrisome thoughts. We should mortify these thoughts, because when we do worry, what we are doing is not trusting God. We're filling ourselves with unbelief. And God's promise to take care of everything about us, all of our needs in this life. "I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread, and I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God says that. Just because you don't feel good today, just because you don't feel like the presence of God is there, doesn't matter what you feel. What do you believe? Where is your faith? So often I use that big word, undulate. You can learn a new word. I'm reading a book, don't be afraid of books with big words. Just get your dictionary app right there and look it up. To undulate means to go from hot and cold, to smoothly go from hot and cold. So often we go from being on the top of the mountain to down in the valley. We like to be on the top of the mountain, but actually in the valley is where you grow better. Top of the mountain, the ground is dry. In the valley, the ground is nice and moist, and that good seed can grow there. So stop worrying, Christian, about what hasn't happened. Trust every aspect of your life to the only one who knows and has determined your future. As a child runs to their earthly father, and Jesus uses this example, as a child runs to his earthly father when that child is worried and full of fear, so run you to your heavenly Father when your heart is overwhelmed. As the psalm says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." When you're full of worrisome fears, run to your heavenly Father. Sometimes it's as if God is saying, "Have you asked me? Ask me." We want to ask everybody else. We want to figure out everything. We want to figure everything out for ourselves. And that's our sin. We're dependent Baptist, dependent on me. We need to depend upon God, brethren. And so those that depend most upon God are the ones that ask most of God. We need to be asking God. Look at Luke 11. This is the synoptic of this passage, Luke 11 and verse 9. And I want you to see really one thing here. It's much the same throughout the reading of it, but I want you to see one thing specifically. Verse 9, he says again, ask and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, this is what I wanted to get to, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Give the Holy Spirit. So it gives us one of the keys to unlock this clue into what should we be asking God for most. More to follow on that. But here Jesus cries out in our text, ask and it shall be given you. What a promise from the God-man. So Christian, child of God, put you on the spot to yourself. What do you ask of God? What do you ask of God? You know your own prayer life. What do you ask of God? No need to answer audibly. You think about that yourself. What are you seeking from your God and Heavenly Father? What closed doors, or what closed door are you knocking on that it might be opened unto you? And yes, of course, we ought to be asking for the salvation of our loved ones. We ought to be asking for healing of the sick. We ask for our dear brother Kevin. We ought, brethren, to be seeking God's will for our lives, or for any earthly endeavor that we're going to undertake. If we're going to do something, we should ask God about it. Should I do this, Lord? Is this door open to me, Lord? The book of Revelation says that God opens and closes doors. Sometimes God shuts the door or tells you, don't go that way. We should ask God about those things. And so, yes, we should be doing those things. But let me ask you this. What things, pray tell, are you asking for from God regarding your holiness and your sanctification? What things are you asking God in regard to your own personal life and your own personal walk with God? How often do you ask God for those things? How many of us are asking God for the Holy Spirit? If you're a Christian, you possess the Holy Spirit, but are you asking God to help you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? See, the Lord teaches us in this text that earthly fathers don't give things to their children that will hurt them or things that will lead them astray. Dads, you're not going to allow your children to do something that's going to make them go astray, where they'll be influenced toward the world or toward sin. I hope you don't. We shouldn't. We need to be careful of those things. So if we're a good father, we're going to give good things to our children. And sometimes we're not going to give them what they ask. In fact, often we won't. Can I have this? No. Well, we should be a little more compassionate than that, but we tell them about why. We know why God says no to some things, and yet we ask for them anyway. Because his word tells us. So if ye then, being evil, fathers, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, your Father which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask them? Now listen, you may ask God for something. You say, Lord, I'm praying about this. And God's going to give you that good thing. And you're going to say, no, that's not what I want. God says, yes, but that's what's good for you and that's what you need. See, God's always going to give us that which is good in his sight, that which is pleasing in His sight. So listen, we pray, and we should pray, as we'll see in a moment, according to the revealed will of God. But then we need to subjugate ourselves and submit ourselves to what God grants. And then sometimes God's going to say no or not yet. And then, as this, we'll see this word ask, it's a present imperative word. And it means keep asking. Continually ask. But we'll get to that. So back to ask and it shall be given you. And for everyone that asks, receives. And again, that word's a present imperative, and it means that this asking should always be happening in your life, Christian. You should always be asking God. Before you ask anyone, you should ask God. You are always to be inquiring of God. And the old Latin term, jugitare coram Deo, means always before His presence. That's what we should be, always before His presence. We should always be at the throne of grace. Seeing we have a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Tell me when you are not in a time of need, child of God. You don't even have to be a child of God. You could be lost here today. Tell me when you have no need from God. There's never a time. In fact, right now, your heart is beating because God has commanded it to do so. God commands every beat of your heart. The amazing thing is God is good to the just and to the unjust. God commands the beating of the heart of the wicked just like He does the righteous. He sends rain upon the fields of the unjust and the just. And so we serve such a good God. Again, if you ask much of God, you show yourself to be very needy before God, and that's a good thing. And since every one of us is needy, every one of us should be constant and humble petitioners before God's throne of grace. Constantly we should be there. Listen, I could stand over there and I need to listen to what I'm preaching because the preacher needs to obey this too. So don't think I'm just preaching to you without preaching to me. So first, do you ask God? Second, how do you ask God? Third, there is a wrong way. There's a wrong asking. Fourth, what are you asking God, your Heavenly Father, for? What are you asking God for? Now, first thing I want you to see is this is not the first time God commanded His children to come to Him and ask of Him that He might bestow blessings upon them. This is not the first time in the Holy Scriptures that God has gone to His children, His people, and said, ask me. God has done that throughout the Holy Scriptures. Throughout the history of time, the Lord has bid His people, come to me, ask what you will of me. Again, what child never asked their father for something? What child is that that doesn't do that? You know, fathers and parents, that you do. Children, you know that you go and ask daddy for things. And Jesus says, what child is there that never does that? And listen, if earthly sinful fathers, and I've said this, I want to say it again, if earthly sinful fathers will give good things to their children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? So do you daily pray unto God, your Heavenly Father, and ask Him for your needs? Now listen to some of the, turn back to Deuteronomy. Let me show you some passages. Deuteronomy 4:7, the book of Deuteronomy 4 and verse 7. Again, here in Matthew 7, it's not the first time we see God here in the person of the Son of God saying, ask me. It's not the first time. Deuteronomy 4:7 says, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, Church of Jesus Christ, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, ought to have God so nigh unto them, near unto them. If God is so near, do we commune with him? Do we ask him things? If Jesus was here in the room, who would be the first one to run to his feet? If he was here. I hear people saying, yeah, when I die, I want to see Aunt Martha and Uncle Joe. No, no, no. When I die, I want to see Christ. I want to run to him. Everybody else is immaterial. I've heard people say, I want to meet Elijah. I want to meet Habakkuk. No, no. I want to meet Christ. I want to go to him. But he says we can come to him now. What nation hath is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? He's so near. He's so near right now. Listen, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in the truth. You are the only being that has a spirit and a soul that can connect with God. The dog doesn't, the bird doesn't. You were created in the image and likeness of God. You have that connection with God where you may call upon him. What a privilege that is, to be able to call upon God, to set before the high and lofty one which inhabits eternity, to set before the eternal first being, the creator God, to go to him with your request. And listen, when you do, God will bend his ear and God will hear your singular one voice in the midst of the mass of all humanity as only God can. It will be as intimate and personal as if you were face to face with God. Coram Deo, you should be before the face of God constantly. Jesus says, ask, and it shall be given you. First, I love this one, 1 Kings 3. This is Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. This is King Solomon. This is after he was anointed king. And God tells him in many ways the same thing that Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount. Look at verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Wow. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give, here's his request, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech, means the question, pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing, which should make us ask a question of ourselves. Does your asking for the thing that you asked for please the Lord? Is your request pleasing to God? Solomon's was. But there's more. God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, I'm so pleased, Solomon, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. Be it done to thee. It's amazing. So that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. See, when we ask for the right things, God will give us everything else that we need. So often, though, we got it backwards. See, Solomon asked for the things that please God. It says there, I will give thee the things that you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Wow. That's an amazing passage of the scriptures, instructional to us. Psalm 34, look there. Psalm 34 and verse 13. The psalmist here. Psalm 34 and verse 15. I'm sorry, I said 13. Says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord, when you see the word the face of the Lord, it means the presence of the Lord. His face is his presence. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Another key to prayer. We ask those things that are pleasing in his sight, and then we come to him with a broken and a contrite heart and spirit. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God delivers them out of them all. Just listen, Jeremiah 33:3, I love it. Call unto me, saith God, and I will call unto me, and I will answer thee. And I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me. We sing it. That's actually a song we sing. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Call unto me, he says, and I will answer thee. In the chapter before that, 32, 17, and 29, God tells the prophet Jeremiah, behold, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He asked Jeremiah that. He asked the question first, and then later on in the chapter, if I got my verses right, later on in the chapter, he says, behold, I am the God of all flesh, and there is nothing too hard for me. So why don't we ask God what we should ask God? John chapter 4, don't turn there. The woman at the well in Samaria said, why are you asking me for water when you know I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew, and Jews don't talk to Samaritans? Jesus says, if thou knew who it was talking to you, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water. Do we really know our God? Do we love our God? Do we believe our God? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Our prayers need to be prayers of faith. Solomon's prayer pleased God. Why? Because it was a humble prayer. It was a prayer of contrition. It was a prayer of a little child, and it was a prayer of faith. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much with God. And so, beloved, how do we ask God, and what do we ask God? Now, don't forget this important truth in our text. Don't forget this about asking for God, asking things of God in prayer, is the text says, it shall be given you. Ask, and it shall be given you. For everyone that asks receives. And we're just on ask right now. It shall be given you. What shall be given you? Listen, when you read the word of God, you need to ask yourself, what shall be given to me, Lord? Whatever I ask? Is this a blank check from God? Can I just pencil in what I want and God's going to give it to me? See, this is how the carnal, earthly-minded will understand this passage. And when God doesn't give them what they asked for, because they've not asked for something that pleases God, they have not asked for something that's going to bring honor and glory to God, they have not asked for something that will bring them into a place of increased sanctification and holiness before God, and so they're discouraged in prayer. Understand, child of God, your Heavenly Father is not going to give you something that's not good for you. You may think it is. And it may not be a bad thing. But God knows infinitely better what you need than you do. We think we know what we need. I know what I need. And you know, when we think like that, guess what? We're not going to petition at the throne of grace because we think we know. And so I don't need to ask God. I will handle this. And then we fall flat on our spiritual carnal faces. Well, no, that's an oxymoron. We fall flat on our fleshly faces. Listen, don't forget that Solomon's prayer pleased God. God's not going to give you something that's not pleasing in his sight. He's not going to give you something that doesn't bring glory to him. This brings us to how you ask in prayer and what you ask God for. And this is where so many Christians fail in prayer and stop praying and become discouraged in prayer because so many of us don't know how to pray. And that's because they don't know God as they should know God. And they don't know what God's word says about how you are to bring our requests and supplications to God. We don't just waltz into the throne room. Listen, there is a way to go to God. Are you asking for things that are according to God's revealed will? Are you asking for things that are pleasing to God according to his will? Or are you asking for things that are in accordance with your will? Here's the way this goes often. I'm going to pray about this. It's a subcutaneous surface prayer. It has no heart in it. I'm going to utter some words, then I'm going to go do what I'm going to do. No patience. No waiting upon God. No seeking his face for what we should do. John 14:12. Look there. John 14. There's some key words in these passages. John 14 and verse 12. The Gospel of John 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Often that's where we stop. But look at the rest of the passage. He says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. What? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Look at 15:7 of John. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's critical. If Christ is in you, and if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, his word is in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You see, Christ in you is going to alter your asking. It's going to drive your asking. Listen, in the Psalms, the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. No, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, Delight thyself. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, what do you think our requests are going to be? What do you think our questions are going to be? That's Psalm 37, I think, verse 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord. What is it to delight ourselves in the Lord? I love your word, Lord. I love you. I love my great salvation that you've given me in Christ, Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. What are your desires are going to be? What are your desires going to be if you delight yourself in the Lord? They're going to be godly desires. Verse 16 of chapter 15 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now turn over to 1 John, two passages there. So listen, you need to listen in your asking. Ask yourself this question. Are you asking for things that please God? Is it pleasing? Is it like a prayer of Solomon that pleases God? We're to ask according to his revealed will. We're to ask for things that are going to bring glory to God. Doesn't mean just because you ask like that, you're going to get it right away. But he says, you shall receive. You shall receive. So don't ask once, don't ask twice, keep asking. And when you realize and experience that blessedness of walking in intimacy and closeness with your God, then you will be one of those constant suppliants at the throne of grace. You'll always be there because of those rich spiritual blessings that God bestows upon you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 John 3 and verse 22. 1 John 3:22. Notice there, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, chapter 5, verse 14 is probably the big spike for these verses. And this is the confidence, verse 14, that we have in him. That if, see that word, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That needs to be a nail in your prayer closet, beloved, that we ask things that are according to his will. So are you asking God for things that are according to his will or for what is in accordance with your will? Now don't forget chapter 6. We just went through this a few weeks back in that pattern prayer when our Lord teaches us to pray. Remember, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Remember, this is praying. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. After this manner, pray you. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done in earth, in me, as it is in heaven, by you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me. So our prayers must always be sprinkled strongly with, not my will, but thine be done. We can ask God for things that are good things, even things that his revealed will seems to point us to ask for those things. Not my will, but thine be done, Lord. Please answer according to your perfect will, Lord. But we become discouraged when we ask for what is not according to the revealed will of God. and for things that are not pleasing to God. And we need to know what things are not pleasing to God. And they become sinful requests. And James talks about this in the book of James. You can turn there to James chapter 4. See, when God doesn't give us what we want, it's because what we want is not according to his revealed will. We should acquiesce in this. We should be able to pray about something and know, Lord, is this your will? And I will continue to ask for it. Because remember, the word ask in Matthew 7 is a present imperative. Present meaning now means every when. Every when. When should you ask? All the time. So we should always be asking. Some things we'll ask for our whole lives. I don't have to tell you what those things are, but I will. We ask for the salvation of our loved ones. Until God saves them, I'll ask, Lord, save my children. Save them, Lord. Is that a right prayer? Yes, it is. How do I know that that's a right prayer? Because God commands all men everywhere to repent. God commands sinners to turn from their sins to Christ. So that's a worthy prayer. It is praying in accordance with God's will. We need to continue to pray for those things. There are many things that we will continue to pray about, continue to ask God for. And listen, just because you die and that prayer wasn't answered doesn't mean that that prayer is not still a sweet aroma in the presence of God. When you read the book of Revelation, it talks about that sweet incense, the prayers of the saints. God opens up the little bottle and your tears didn't evaporate. They're still in there. And so, brethren, we need to acquiesce that God's he hears our prayer. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If you know that in your heart of hearts, you'll be a constant asker at the throne of grace. And so, beloved, continue to ask. But sometimes we ask the wrong way. Proverbs 15:8. Look at the Proverbs. Proverbs 15:8. Turn there. While you're turning there, Psalm 66 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord will not hear me. Proverbs 15 and verse 8 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The prayer of the upright is the delight of God. Listen, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A righteous woman, a child of God, it avails much in the presence of God. Amazing thing that the Creator would bend his ear to hear the prayers of such worms as we, as I. 21:27, just listen, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. And what did a sacrifice do? It sent up that which was a sweet savor in heaven, but not the sacrifice of the wicked. It's an abomination, a stench in heaven. And then James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Is what you're asking God honoring to God? Is it pleasing to God? Is it going to bring glory to God? Remember James and John? Remember their mother went to Jesus and said, I have a request of you. And James and John had this request. My sons, I would like them to sit on your right hand and on your left hand in your kingdom and when you come to your throne. James and John, the scriptures record, they had the same question. Jesus says, you know not what you ask. You know not what you ask. Do we know what we're asking? Have we considered what we're asking our Lord? James 4, look. If From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? So this is the person that's not in the right frame of mind. A believer, by the way, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. And when you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, means you ask wrongly, that you may consume it upon your lusts. In other words, you want something for yourself. It's something worldly. And you know that because of the context. He says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? And you will pray for such things? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And so there's a wrong supplication, a wrong asking. Think about your life, Christian. You are called to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You should be becoming more like Christ with every passing day. Jesus was the sinless Son of Man. He was a man of continual prayer unto his heavenly Father. If you, child of God, are a believer in Christ, shouldn't you be following his perfect example? If he prayed often, how much more should we? If Jesus prayed and went to his Father. Listen, our path as Christians should be as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. We should be becoming more like Christ with every passing day, and that should teach us what we should be asking God for. The more you know God, the more you will know how to pray unto him. I believe that that will come. It will be intuitively obvious to you. It will come from within you because the Spirit of God is within you. You'll be filled with the Spirit of God. So the more you know God, the more you'll know how to pray unto God. The more you know God, the more spiritually natural it will be for you to pray. You will want and desire to pray unto your Heavenly Father and to worship him and to bring your supplications and requests to him. Now think about this as we close this portion of Matthew. If you are a child of the kingdom of Christ, your chief desires should be to know more of Christ and of the truths and promises of the kingdom of heaven. Once this is true of you, you will constantly be desiring an audience with your God and Heavenly Father. Remember Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we haven't even gotten to seek yet. Christians, the things that you ask from your Heavenly Father should always be for the advancing of the kingdom of God in your life. Every prayer you should ask yourself, is this going to further the kingdom of God? Is this going to glorify you, Lord? Is this pleasing in your sight? Is this going to make me more like Christ? So back to Luke, remember, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Or your desires, holy desires, or your desires to be more like Christ. The truest joy and happiness in this world is not getting stuff out there. It's getting stuff in here that comes from God. It's being filled with the truth of God's word. It's letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's having the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught us here that our greatest needs are not earthly. God says, I'm going to give you what you need to sustain you in this life. Matthew 6 told us that. Just like fathers to their children. So why are you worrying about these things? Your greatest needs are the needs of your soul. So how often, child of God, have you asked God for more of himself. You've asked God for more of his spirit. You've asked God for the fruit of the spirit in his life. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You could pray that for the rest of your life, and it would be a worthy prayer. Give me the Spirit of God. Fill me with it. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Be not drunk with this world. Don't fill yourself with this world. Fill me with the Spirit of God, Lord. And I'll close with 1 Thessalonians. We talk about praying according to the revealed will of God. So 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. I hope this is helpful as we close. Paul says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Lord, help me here. When's the last time you asked God for holiness? But listen, and I'll be done. You can't just ask God to be blessed and filled with the Spirit if you're not in here. You got to eat. You got to get the calories. You got to eat the book. You got to be filled with the truth of God's word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Spirit of God uses the word to transform us, brethren. So ask, and it shall be given you. What's the it in your life? Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, we pray that you would help us to pray in a manner in which you will bend your ears. You'll bend your ear to the earth. You'll hear thy servants that are poor and needy. You will answer us, Father. You will give us those things that our hearts desire. But, O God, may our hearts delight in thee, that our desires and our requests and our supplications would be right supplications. O God, help these thy people. And Father, help with those sinners in our midst whom we love, whom we've prayed for and will continue to pray for. Help those that we love who aren't here. O God, receive all the praise. We ask for your blessings on the food. We thank you for the rich bounty. Thank you for everyone who brought something to eat. And I pray that our fellowship over perishable food will be about heavenly manna. Lord, we bless your holy name and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.